An Aborted I Love You, written by Lovin Hawkins and read by Hello Moon. Steve doesn't notice the answering machine for several weeks. His time is split between the hospital and donating food and clothes, and when he's not doing that, he's helping put up missing posters for people's loved ones. It's only when both Max and Eddie are discharged that he has a moment to even catch his breath, when, half-dozing on his feet, waiting for a microwave-ready meal to heat up, he notices the blinking red light in the hallway. He feels like he's still in a dream when he presses play, hears his mother's voice. There's people talking in the background, the echoing, constant chatter of a hotel lobby. She's laughing at something someone must have said before the answering machine kicked in. She sounds happy. Steve? Steve? The rustle of the receiver getting briefly pressed to her blouse, a muffled.
Just a minute, hun. He might still pick up.
Then, clearer.
No, you must be out. All right, Steve, it was just to let you know that we'll be home a little sooner than we... Yes, I'm telling him. What do you think I'm doing?
Steve's thoroughly grateful that he's listening to a message and no response is required. Can only stand there, jaw slack, just how light his mother's voice is.
A couple of work things fell through.
She continues with a breeziness that probably means several major things went disastrously wrong, work-related or otherwise. But it doesn't sound like she cares all that much. If anything, she sounds excited.
So I thought we could... Well, I don't know how late we'll be, but if you're not too hungry, we could just order some pizza. Lazy dinner? Plain cheese for you, right?
A distant ring of a bell on a counter.
Steve, darling... I know we haven't been.
She cuts herself off with a sigh that's gone too quickly for Steve to parse. He hasn't ordered a plain cheese pizza since he was 12 years old. But she's trying, he thinks. She's trying.
Oh, we're just checking out. What? No, I thought you had that bag. Well, just... Sorry, Steve. See you tonight. Love you.
The message ends. In a daze, Steve replays it once, twice. It's on the third re-listen that he hears the mechanical voice intone what date the message was left.
See you tonight.
He inhales sharply, just as the microwave beeps, and then he's out the door, leaving the food to congeal. He knows the route they would have taken, plays it backwards in his head as he drives, can see them in his mind's eye taking the exit that leads into Hawkins, his mom berating his dad for not using his turn signal. He finds the road, stops, gets out and presses his hand to the tarmac. He can feel it under his palm, like a scar. The gates spread at the end. There's no proof, nothing he can point to and say, there, that's what happened to them. Not a trace. But he knows. He knows. Okay, what's up? Eddie asks him 3 days later. It's almost funny how little things have changed. Steve keeps waiting for a knock at the door. Just kidding. There's no harried phone calls from their work, so they must have taken extended leave, or he doesn't know. He's never going to know. Nothing. Steve shrugs. Just... thinking if the kids want popcorn now or later. Eddie's suspicion melts away with a snort. It's too easy. Stupid question. The answer is always now. Yeah, yeah. Second cupboard on your left, Munson. Knock yourself out. What am I, the maid? But Eddie's already reaching for the popcorn, opening the microwave door with a clunk, and then there's an abrupt silence. Steve realizes why a second too late. Shit, sorry, let me just... He picks up the plastic tray full of moldy pasta and throws it in the trash. Feels a prickle of shame as he does so. It's stupid that this is the thing that makes his breathing catch. So fucking just... senseless. Steve? Eddie says haltingly, like he somehow knows this isn't just about being absent-minded. Don't, Steve says. He knows that's practically a signed confession already, but Eddie nods and even cleans the damn microwave without a word of complaint, because the popcorn still needs to be done, and the kids are waiting, and they're pretending, Steve thinks. We're all just pretending. He loses himself in washing up, makes the water run hot and doesn't wear gloves, lets his skin scald. They'd all ordered pizza, and Steve had hidden every slice he'd taken, torn them all up and stuffed them into a napkin. He stops when he comes to a large plate with a floral trim. Would she have picked this one? He wonders. The pizza would have looked pretty, served up on that. And then, as quickly as that thought came, another takes its place. How dare she? How dare she think that a fucking lazy dinner would fix everything? Did she think he'd just forgive her? Forgive them both? Just like that? But she never got the chance. He'll never get the chance to. A sharp, stabbing pain. Steve turns off the faucet automatically, sees that the plate has smashed in the sink, a shard of china in his palm. Eddie's voice echoes in the hallway. I called Wheeler, Nancy, she took them all home. Cool, Steve says, voice tight. He knows that Eddie has entered the kitchen when he hears a shocked hiss. Dude, what the fuck? You're bleeding. Wait there. Just... It's not a deep cut, Steve thinks numbly. He doesn't know why Eddie is worried. But he lets him fuss, lets him gently pry the remnants of the plate away, lets him wrap a bandage tightly. Hey, Eddie says, his voice soft. Whatever it is, we'll fix it, okay? Steve can't look at him, clenches his jaw. We will. You hear me, Harrington? I promise. Steve shakes his head. Can't fix. He gets out before his throat closes up, and when he glances back, Eddie's eyes are wide and fearful. What? He says sharply, and he looks almost nauseous. Like he suspects he's about to be told that the monsters are back. They have never even left. What the fuck do you mean? You've got to tell me, man, just... Steve makes an anguished noise that feels like it comes from somewhere in his chest, and Eddie freezes. He considers Steve for a long moment. Okay, he says, a wary placation. Can you show me instead? Steve blinks. He flexes his hand, uncaring of the cut, and jerks his head to the hallway. Eddie stares, frowns, then leaves. He figures it out. Of course he does. Steve just stands there, hears the click of the answering machine. He closes his eyes. This is all that's left. These are his scrapes. A sigh he'll never understand. An aborted, I love you. It had never come easily to her. But had left her freely then. Why? A hand on his shoulder, Steve opens his eyes. Eddie looks stricken. Steve, he whispers, then stops like he doesn't have the words. Steve can't blame him. Neither does he. I didn't know, Eddie says. Steve, I didn't. They were coming home. Steve says stupidly. Feels a bit like he's 12 years old. They were gonna come home. Oh, Eddie says, and it leaves him all in one breath. Oh, Steve, come here. Steve falls against him, muffles something that's half a cry, half a scream against his shoulder, and mourns the loss. A conversation he will never have. The end.